This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. We're going to have a great third hour coming up as well with Jonathan Davis and Scott Merlin's going to be joining us here to talk White Sox baseball, JD, everything going on the NHL free agency front. And also, we're going to talk a lot more NBA free agency. But Jensen, we have to start off with the story of the day. Team USA, survive in advance, baby. That's where we begin today's edition of our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
It was not without drama. If you're waking up today and you see, USA beat Bosnia-Herzegovina 2-0, well, that was easy, right? No, had a very controversial red card. Lose your top goal scorer there for the better part of almost a half of football, and you're going to be without him here come Monday night against Belgium. But, Jensen, before we get to all that, the good news is, kind of like Belgium and England, United States have survived into the round of 16.
Indeed. And boy, what a sight it was looking out there. Dave, by FIFA rules, not allowed to call it Levi Stadium. The Bay Area, however they classify the home of the San Francisco 49ers, outside of a Super Bowl, as packed and as energetic as I've seen that landscape. And what a job, even down a man, the United States find their way through. As you mentioned, when you look at where the early pricing is, for that round of 16 matchup against Belgium, they are a $1.30 favorite to qualify and advance into the quarterfinal. Belgium is plus $1.05. I am intrigued to see what the lineup changes are now with Flo Balogun, who's not going to be in there due to the red card. But we will have our eyes watchfully on a couple of matches today, Dave. Portugal, Croatia, Spain, Austria. Winners of that will match up in their round of 16. And ultimately, the winner there could potentially face the United States in the quarterfinal.
All right, without Flo and the red card heard round, at least the World Cup yesterday, it was clearly, it just felt like a bogus call. But without his services for Belgium, and I know that every sport can be different in this, but the way that they played without Flo in the lineup here, for the majority of that second stanza, and to be able to not only hold their own, but then increase the lead without him. I mean, obviously, you don't want that scenario to play itself against Belgium, but can they take something from that here, that they were able to not only survive, but really excel even a man down?
They were amazing, right? And Malik Tillman, come on down, your table's ready. What a scintillating kick for him to put it up 2-0 with a man down, seeing still the fervor and the energy that Team USA had just speaks to not only their pedigree and their quality, Dave, but it's a different feel. It's a different confidence with this leadership and how they have really believed that not only do they belong, but that they can win up against some of the best in the world. They'll get their stiffest test yet with the Red Devils coming in. Dave, we're a handful of months away from Monday night football in the National Football League, but we get a tease of teases with, yes, World Cup Monday night football in the Pacific Northwest on Monday night.
Can't wait. I'll be home in Virginia Beach for that. Mom actually even texted, what time is the match, soccer match? So even mom is getting caught up right now in World Cup fever. Love to see it. How about the C's and the Philadelphia 76ers? I mean, for old heads like me, you know how big this rivalry used to be. And now it never really goes away. But when you swap Jaylen Brown from Boston to Philly, and all you got to give up, yeah, I got to give up a bunch of picks here. But Paul George, and you know, Paul's no spring chicken these days, it feels like a big-time acquisition here for Philadelphia. The numbers have moved here. Boston slips to the second betting choice, about plus 450. Philadelphia moves to plus 750 to win the East. They're all looking up at the Knicks right now. But for two of those big three there with New York, Philadelphia, and Boston, Jensen, this feels like a case of trading places right here.
Not only trading places, but also in the odds market. I know you've had a keen eye on where this has changed things. And even for those that didn't get a chance to join us yesterday, Jonathan Von Tobel highlighting the Toronto Raptors and their move acquiring Kawhi Leonard, saying you might want to hold off and see, mm-hmm. you know, in some of the markets, if some of the dominoes fall and Jaylen Brown was one of those that would be a guy that would move markets. Well, it has. It's moved Philadelphia to plus 750, now the third shortest shot to win the Eastern Conference thus far. Toronto now drifts to 9-1. Remember, they were 8-1 yesterday. So patience is a virtue, looking at where some of these big dominoes have started to move that futures market.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, because all of a sudden it feels like the East has gotten deeper. I don't know how better. Clearly, Miami is going to be better. Clearly, Philadelphia is going to be better. Are they good enough now to beat the Knicks? I know that sounds crazy to say this time last year, but that's the type of run in the postseason the Knicks had. All of a sudden, you have to look at them very differently as the reigning defendings. Are we looking at the Yankees differently? Speaking of New York, losers of seven straight. And Jensen, the lineup just looks like a Triple-A lineup that they're putting out there. Aaron Judge are really starting to feel that absence there. But the Pinstripers are spiraling. They're 3.5 games back now of the Rays there in the East. And meanwhile, the Cubs, I think they just scored again against the Padres. 23-3 to highlight some of the Major League Baseball action yesterday.
Unbelievable job from Dansby Swanson. Going to touch on him a bit more upcoming in the Daily Diamond. But Dave, you look at a Yankee club that it feels like a tradition unlike any other. A June swoon that has now, at least for a day, leaked into the month of July. They even made the comeback in the ninth inning. Detroit was giving it away in the ninth inning. And then in the 10th, they can't be competent with guys out of the bullpen. I'm not really worried per se, because this has happened before and then they bounce back. But Dave, I'm going to need to see a little life and a little turnaround headed into the final stanza of this first half. Yes, no Aaron Judge, but man alive, this is a team that has still got the pedigree to be one of the better squads in the American League. So anxious to see how they finish this first half.
Counselor, could I interest you in the Yankees at -$1.20 at this juncture, 3.5 games back of Tampa Bay to win the division? I mean, that's as cheap a price as you're going to get with the cavalry coming. You know they're coming, Jensen. Could I interest you in that price point?
Yes. Yes. Okay, so let me qualify it.
All right.
I don't – there's a part of me that would want to double down because I think this is as cheap as it may get. Especially when you finally get Judge back. And let's say, because the market will recorrect, you've seen this a ton. Let's say they win 6 out of 8. I mean, this is back to a $2, $2.50, you know, price point.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I have kind of covered my end on, Dave, obviously I have that Yankees World Series huge future at 287-1. I added the Rays to win the World Series, parlay with France to win the World Cup upwards of 65-1. So I don't know if I want to get more exposure on either of those two teams, just kind of knowing if they do what they're capable of doing, getting into the playoffs. I couldn't care less who wins the East, but to your actual question to advise people, if you think they make the turnaround, then I think you jump in on the Yankees right now. I don't think you get a cheaper price here in the next couple of weeks.
I might have to dip my toe into the Pinstripers. I will never admit that in a court of law. Okay, let's get to the tee times. They are out right now. We do have some guys under par here to begin. Action of the JDC, the John Deere Classic, is underway in Illinois. Jensen, you've got some added plays here, too. Before some of these guys tee off, people, you can still get some of this action. Jensen, what have you added to the portfolio?
Okay, so you have talked me into riding the Denny McCarthy train this week. So I put a half unit on him to finish top 20 on DraftKings at a plus 225 price. That does include ties. Ooh. There. Also going to play him for a little quarter unit on the outright market. Dave, I found 62-1 this morning also at DraftKings. Going to include him in a top 20 finish parlay. In DraftKings, Dave, there is still a boost token available. Minimum of 3 legs. Little Denny in there. Ben Griffin, JT Poston. That gets boosted to a little over 13-1. We'll play that for a half unit as well. A couple other outrights here. Yes, I know I'm shopping at the top of the board, but we've also included Ben Griffin, Chris Goddard up in our Bet the Build, so I'd be remiss if I didn't at least get a share of them in my win portfolio. A guy I know you like a lot, Michael Thorbjornsson, 33-1, great price point, as well as that's Pearson, Pearson Cootie going in at 40-1 to win it, plus 290 for a top 10 finish. Those the plays for yours truly on the John Deere Classic beat this week.
You're going to like this news, then. I mentioned some guys are already under par. Pearson Cootie, 1-under through 1, Jensen. Goes out there, gets you a little birdie off the top to get your day started. And by the way, love the price point that you found on Little Denny at +225. Yeah. I got them at $2. You got a better price point there, +225. But anywhere north of $2, man, I love that price point for Denny McCarthy. Nice shopping by you to get him at +225. We mentioned Serena Williams, her Wimbledon singles has already come to a close in the first round, losing to Maya Joint a couple days ago. But it looks like her doubles might not even begin. She's got a knee injury. You know, this is supposed to be the return of the Williams sister here. Williams sisters, we know how much they like to play doubles, how good they are at doubles as well. Jensen, I'm not going to give her out. I don't know if that's the reason why she didn't speak, but when you are injured, a lot of times athletes don't take to the podium. So maybe we can understand if she does have a knee injury and can't go, maybe that's the reason why. And Novak Djokovic cruises into the third round. Remember, first round, it got a little bit difficult for Novak. Not so much yesterday. Jannik Sinner also on the men's side cruises straight sets to get to that. It feels like maybe those jitters kind of get done here in the first round for guys like Novak and certainly Jannik Sinner, and maybe we're starting to see that cream rise to the top.
Appreciate that. I did not need the sweat on Sinner with the great cross-board parlay. I did not need that to have happen and really scuttle the ship, if you will. For what it's worth, the Joker is down to 5-1. I believe he was upwards of 7-1, Dave, beginning of the tournament. So at least a little movement on that front. But very anxious to see, as we now start to get into week two of Wimbledon, you know, where this group and this futures market ends up transpiring for sure.
And again, called out Rory McIlroy, who was wearing his Masters green jacket. So let's play a match. If I win, I get the jacket. If you win, you get the racket. But as Jensen pointed out, Rory's comeback only in, we'll do that in golf. We're not playing that in tennis. When we come back, what about the Mets? What are they doing? It's a mess. What's the owner, Steve Cohen, going to do about it? That's next, right here at VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
This 4th of July, we're bringing back something we rarely do, a multi-year VSiN Pro subscription for 1 week only. You can get 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. That's access through July 2028 at nearly 70% off the regular monthly price. You're going to get our NFL season betting guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI power prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and every single betting guide, season previews, and VSiN Pro features we do over the next 2 years. But don't wait. This special 4th of July offer will disappear after July 7th. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. Lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Jensen Lewis, we always talk about it. It's as good a deal as you're going to get here. So we already appreciate everybody that is a VSiN Pro subscriber. And Jensen, you pointed this out yesterday. I think it's worth repeating here. If you already are a VSiN Pro subscriber, it does not mean you can't take advantage of that offer, correct?
No, absolutely. And just for people that are just tuning us in today and seeing this for the first time, if you are a current VSiN Pro subscriber, we'll add 2 calendar years onto the end of your current expiration date. So again, if you're expiring on July 7th, perfect timing, because then we will get you through for 2 more calendar years. They've one of the great deals because it will get you in line now, at least here for the next handful of months, for NFL Betting Guide 2.0. Of course, the College Football Betting Guide, what we'll have on the National Hockey League front, the NBA, our MLB, the Masters, March Madness. Like it's as good as it gets anywhere in the industry, no question about it.
Speaking of NHL, we're going to have Jonathan Davis join the program here in the very next hour with NHL Free Agency. We always love to pick his brain this time of year. Why? Because nobody's talking about hockey, and we might be able to get some really good numbers today when the market's kind of a little bit lax on that. And Scott Merkin is going to join the program here in the third hour as well. We keep talking at this time of year, certain teams to look at here. The White Sox certainly have been a real pleasant surprise. Not a surprise to you, Jensen. You were all over them before the season began, but to some, we'll discuss with Scott why things are going so well on the South Side. Things are not going well in New York City if you're a backer of the Metropolitans like yours truly. It has been, shall we say, an unmitigated disaster for the Metropolitans, dead last, and absolutely one of the worst teams in all of Major League Baseball. Now, Carlos Mendoza, you can't kick him around anymore because he's already been fired as the manager. What about the guy that maybe gave the ingredients to be the chef, Carlos Mendoza, and the guy that was cooking this up in the offseason? Well, that's the GM, David Stearns. So what about his future in New York to turn this thing around? Well, the owner, Steve Cohen, had some very interesting things to say about his general manager.
I'm a hands-off guy, okay? I don't want to be an invasive owner, okay? There's plenty of examples in the sports world where owners come in over the top consistently, and over generally the performance suffers. So I don't want to be that owner. Now, saying that, because we're not performing, you know, I'm doing a deeper dive and I'm trying to understand what happened here. And listen, I have a lot of business experience. I'm not a baseball expert. Okay. I mean, that's not my day job. Okay. But if I can add value, you know, and so I'm doing a deeper dive, trying to understand, like any owner would, in a business when things aren't performing the way they're supposed to. And that's what I'm doing. And out of that, you know, I mean, but, you know, we'll figure out what changes that need to be made. But the change that's not going to be made is you know, moving David out at this point. I'm just not going to do it, you know. And now, listen, if we get to year five and our performance continues to suffer, you know, at that point, you know, everything's fair game.
Did he say year five, Jensen? Okay. By the way, I like that. I like that an owner is going to tell you what his strengths and weaknesses are as an owner, and that he's not like a baseball guy. He's going to trust the baseball guys that he's hired. So I can appreciate that. But Jensen, does it take a baseball guy to understand that David Stearns has been an absolute disaster so far as the GM of this team? Does it take that?
Somewhere in heaven, George Steinbrenner is cackling like a schoolboy listening to that. Hey, this is a bottom line business. And when you spend the way that Steve Cohen spends, and maybe if, you know, for one of the richest owners in baseball, maybe it would hit a little different. And he's starting to pull the curtain back a little bit, Dave. I don't know if you saw further the comments. They're in real trouble after this year, regardless of what the CBA looks like, salary floor, salary cap, what have you, they're in some dire straits just from prospect capital, let alone what you've got committed payroll that no other teams are lining up to take off your books. It's a real problem for the Mets in their contention window. And for what it's worth, I appreciate some of the old guard finally coming out and airing out Eric Chavez on line one, especially in this Met situation. We have become too dependent, and I don't want to put myself in it because I try and toe the line and balance analytics, eye test experience. A lot of these front offices, Dave, are run by geek squads who have never been able to throw a baseball, let alone field one or catch one. And I appreciate where we need to have that element of the game, but it has overrun some franchises, and you are now seeing them pay the price by instituting coaches that have never experienced what we have at the highest level and thinking, oh, it's fine, they'll adapt. No. Dave, we don't send you or I into the operating room to perform brain surgery just because we're affordable and we think, you know, there's an analytics-based solution that will tell us how to use the scalpel and whatnot. There needs to be a reckoning in some of these front offices, and maybe it has to start at the top here of the team that spends the most money outside of the LA Dodgers. Now, the Dodgers have figured it out because they have a lot of good, bright minds, but a wealth of experience. They have their analytical portion, no question about it. And then they have their actual on-field experience and people that have been there, done that for a long time. So when you bring those worlds together and you allow the voices to be equal, that really escalates you. And yes, I know the payroll part and the exemption is what it is for the Dodgers. That's going to get corrected. But Steve, they made the fourth luxury tax level the Steve Cohen tax. They renamed it because there was only a team at one point that was spending in that level and he didn't care. Now you're hearing a multi-billionaire say, we got problems. It's not good. Not good for the team, short or long term.
The only team with longer odds to make the postseason this year in the National League than the Metropolitans is Colorado Rockies. They're 50-1. The Mets are 25-1. I mean, this is an absolute disaster what's happening with the team that's spending the most money. I've got some good news for you. We've got a rabbit out there right now at the John Deere Classic. It's Pearson Cootie. He's 2-under through 2. So you can't birdie all 18 unless you birdie the first two. That's what Pearson Cootie's done. He's the only guy underway right now at 2-under par. In a couple weeks, we're going to go over to England and play the fourth major of the year over there at the British Open, or as we call it. That's what we call it. They call it the Open Championship. Sergio Garcia has knocked on the door to win that Open Championship numerous times. Never won it. Of course, he's a major champion, won it at Augusta National to get his green jacket. This is a former number two player in the world when Eldrick Woods was the number one player in the heyday. Sergio now, he's over there in the Live Golf League, and he's still trying to qualify for the Open Championship, which I think is very admirable. But he didn't qualify after getting off to a really good start. And Jensen, he says, Sergio says, the reason why he missed the cut in order to make and qualify for the Open Championship, he blamed it on lasagna. Take a listen.
And I felt like I played well this morning. I had a nice finish. I kind of had things going a little bit. I had a little bit of food there in the players' lounge, and it did not sit well with me. So I struggled very much my first nine holes in the afternoon. Nauseous, and felt like I was going to puke pretty much every single hole.
Okay. Now, look, I've got allergy issues. I know what it's like to suffer on the golf course when you feel like you're going to sneeze every hole. I've never had to puke every hole. Like Sergio says, he's blaming it on the lasagna that he had in the press room in between the rounds. Jensen, if that's your club, now your chef has got to come out and say something like, there was nothing wrong with the lasagna, Sergio. It was about your play.
No, so for you. Is someone who has experienced a bad meal at Chipotle that gave me the worst food poisoning I've ever had for a 72-hour stretch in Athens, Georgia, just a year ago. We say it every year in spring training when we have the performance-enhancing police come in. There's a sign posted, be careful and always know what you put in your body. I'm not saying that Serge didn't evaluate the lasagna beforehand. Come on, brother. You got a little Spanish, Italian blood, and you got to figure it out. Come on, dude. Let's go.
True story, Whistling Straits, PGA Championship. Sergio and I ate at the same restaurant. We did not sit at the same table. I don't think there was any food poisoning involved in the making of that meal. Chris Vasili is going to join the program next, talking all things World Cup soccer. Come on back. It's VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, going to have Jonathan Davis, of course, the Iceman, talking all things NHL offseason. Scott Merkin's going to join the program as well to talk all things Chicago White Sox. What a pleasant surprise they've been on the south side of Chicago. But maybe the biggest surprise so far is Team USA in World Cup soccer, and what a joy this run has turned out to be as they get now and qualify for the round of 16 with their 2-0 win last night over Bosnia-Herzegovina. Here to break it down, Chris Vasili does a great job, betting analyst at Covers. We've enjoyed his coverage right here with us on VSiN by the Books. Give him a follow on X at MC_Silly3. Chris, great to have you back on. It's fun talking about United States soccer going this far, and I know it wasn't without controversy last night, But should we be emboldened, despite losing? We'll get to the red card madness here in a sec. But should we be emboldened now with the United States that this is not that far out of the realm of possibility that maybe we can still beat Belgium and make a deep run in this World Cup?
Yes, I would say the sky's the limit for the United States national soccer team here. That is until the quarterfinals when they have to go up against Spain, most likely. I think that's kind of where the Cinderella run ends for them, unfortunately. Look, they've been great throughout the tournament. You know, very workmanlike performances against, you know, the likes of Paraguay, Australia, you know, throughout the Turkey game and, you know, against Bosnia here. I kind of expected that game to go, you know, as it did. Bosnia kind of sitting back and soaking up all the pressure. Hats off to the United States for playing well. The Balogun red card obviously changes the script going forward against Belgium. I do still like their chances, you know, a little bit of foreshadowing there. But yeah, it'll be tougher than it should have been, I guess, with Balogun in the lineup starting that game.
Okay, we'll get to that because you mentioned Spain. They will be the first match today at 3 o'clock Eastern. What a defensive wall that they have been. And again, yet to hit on all cylinders offensively, looking at the fitness, of course, of Lamine Yamal and seeing where they could be on the attack. Chris, tell me if I'm in the right frame of mind here. Austria lucky to be in with the way that the results were at the end of the group stage. Spain, yes, the offense hasn't been there, but you can't score on them. Do we find value in the under here and maybe a Spain win to nil scenario, just knowing their defensive prowess has been utterly fantastic in this World Cup?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there, Jensen. I think that this matchup has, you know, 2 or 3-0 kind of written all over it in favor of Spain. If you're kind of looking to get involved, the way I'm playing this game is Lamine Yamal to score anytime plus 120. You know, obviously he has kind of got off to a, you know, a sluggish start. Obviously he's still battling his fitness, but, you know, they kind of saved him for this spot and, you know, the knockout rounds in general. I think that there's plenty of value on, obviously, you know, Spain's spark plug up front. And another way I'm kind of looking to target this game is Spain shots on target. I think it's over 5.5, sitting at about minus 120. You got to look at this Austria defense. You know, they gave up plenty of high quality chances. Spain's going to live in the attacking third. They're going to generate plenty of offense, in my opinion, in this contest. I just think this number is kind of ripe for the picking. You wouldn't see, you know, you wouldn't put it past Spain to have, you know, 8-9 shots on target in this game. I think they're sitting on a good offensive outburst just based on the lack of, you know, defensive instincts from Austria. Austria. And I think we're kind of sitting on two winners here with Lamal in the shots on target market.
Second match of the day is going to be Ronaldo, Portugal taking on Croatia. $3 betting favorites here to advance here for Portugal. There's danger at any point here, certainly as you get deeper and deeper. But what about Portugal's chances here, not only to win today, they feel pretty good, but then again, to keep on going this World Cup?
Yeah, so for this game, I like Portugal's chances a lot. I have them in regulation to get the job done, minus 135. I think the biggest takeaway from Portugal, obviously they looked kind of, you know, out of sorts in the group stage. They kind of did what they needed to do to kind of get the job done and get to this, you know, knockout stage where the tournament actually starts. Their defensive ceiling is much higher than I believe Croatia's is. They've only given up one goal through the group stage thus far. Croatia, 5 goals allowed in 3 group stage games. They were obliterated by England in that 4-2 loss in the opener. I just think Portugal has that extra gear that Croatia just simply cannot get to. You know, this is kind of an old hand style Croatia side. Portugal have, you know, good young players outside of Cristiano Ronaldo, is obviously pushing the wrong side of 40. But I think Portugal is the better team. If we're looking at kind of, you know, how far they could possibly go, you know, getting past Croatia would be, you know, a good start. But, you know, they're going to run into Spain in the round of 16, most likely, which I think is not good for anybody. So, yeah, Portugal win one knockout game and get knocked out by Spain in the round of 16.
Let me follow up real quick just on some player prop and maybe some other value angles for you in this matchup. Knowing the speed at which Croatia play with, would that interest you in an over 2.5 or a both teams to score, just kind of knowing where the counterattack can be for both of these clubs? And would you want to get involved in maybe a Bruno Fernandes scoring or assist market as well?
Yeah, I would say the Bruno Fernandes score or assist market is more interesting than kind of jumping on the over 2.5 goals. I think obviously he's the heartbeat of the team in the midfield. You know, he's going to have the ball at his feet more often than not, trying to create for, you know, Ronaldo, Leao, But I do believe that's the better market than trying to jump on the over. Like I said, Portugal's defensive ceiling is much higher than Croatia's. I don't think that Croatia could trouble Portugal too often in this contest, so I'm kind of hesitant to lay the the over 2.5. But the Bruno Fernandes prop definitely stands out as something that would be a good shout at we're getting -110 right now for him to score or assist.
Chris, we got one more match on the day today. That'll be the Swiss taking on Algeria to advance here. I'm seeing Switzerland about -$2 betting favorite to get it done here. Tells me this is pretty tightly lined here, certainly in a regulation type of situation here. What do you make of Switzerland's chances today?
This is an interesting game. I personally have been a little bit higher on Switzerland than most. I think they were one of the more underrated teams coming into the tournament. So I'm kind of not jumping off the bandwagon right now. I've got them over 1.5 team total goals at +133. This is a spot where, you look at Algeria's defensive issues. They gave up 7 goals across the 3 matches in the group stage. I just don't trust them defensively. I think Switzerland generates plenty of good quality chances. They've got good pieces up front, and Bolo can, turn a half chance into a goal when called upon. They're giving up plenty of shots on target. It just in general, I think Switzerland is sitting on a good offensive outburst. I know the odds are kind of close in, in nature, which means Algeria is not exactly a true underdog, which I think opens up this game because I think they're going to be, full of confidence that they can actually get a result here. So I think Switzerland has the ability to, put their best offensive foot forward and cash the over 1.5 team total goals.
Okay, Chris, I know we won't get a chance to talk to you rest of the week, so let me illuminate our final kind of round of 32 here tomorrow, and then maybe even a peek into the matchups we already know solidified for the round of 16. Anything tomorrow that would jump out? Of course, it's just crazy to watch and look at Argentina. They're a $25 favorite to qualify against Cape Verde, albeit we saw England play with their food, all right, against the DR Congo and needed some late heroics, some Harry Kane to get across the line. Any upsets tomorrow? I know the shortest line there to qualify is Egypt and Australia. Egypt, a little odds on to qualify. Any matches tomorrow that you feel could be bettable early today, and maybe a round of 16 take for a matchup we already know is lined up ready to go?
Yeah, I think I think tomorrow's slate is among probably the worst day of soccer that we've seen so far in the round of 32, just based on the matchups. Couple of bets that I actually made already. Argentina, Cabo Verde, under 2.5 goals at +133. I think this is going to be very straightforward for Argentina. I don't think they're going to have to work too hard to get this result and qualify for the next round. I think they're sitting on a 2-0 win in that game. Egypt to qualify, I think they have more attacking talent than Australia. You can only sit back for so long and rely on your counterattack to get the job done. I just think Egypt has too much firepower up front. And if you're looking forward into the round of 16, I bet it right away as soon as the lines came out. Norway, Brazil, both teams to score, yes. Got it -120. It's now jumped up to, I see, -140 in some places. I think Norway's going to trouble that old, slow Brazilian back line, similar to kind of Japan, how Japan did in the first half, at least. And Brazil, they're Brazil. They always score. Norway's defense is not, not rock solid by any stretch. And you know what? We're going to root for Canada to advance. Why not? I mean, the story writes itself. Morocco's a good side. They're a little bit, under the radar, if you will. But, why not Canada, right? That's kind of the way we're looking at it over here. And I think that, we're getting +275 to advance. Stranger things have happened in World Cup soccer. So why not?
Chris, only about 30 seconds to go. It is the red card heard around World Cup here. So no Flo Balogun coming up for Monday night's matchup here with that red card against Belgium. Can US of A survive in advance without him as their top goal scorer so far in the World Cup?
I would say yes. It's going to be a lot tougher than it would have been if he had been in the lineup, but they're going to put probably Ricardo Pepe in. He ended the season for PSV scoring in 5 straight matches. Obviously he gets limited run with the United States national team, but this guy can score. He's good with the ball at his feet. They still got the playmakers in behind him to provide him service. And yeah, it's kind of now do or die, put up or shut up time for Pepe to kind of show his worth. But I think they'll be okay for this game against the slow, tired Belgium side.
All right, little pep in our step here. Come on, Pepe. You got a next man up mentality. Chris, great stuff as always. Give him a follow on X at @MC_Silly3. We are back. Daily Diamond talking some Major League Baseball next right here at VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
This is rather exciting, Jensen Lewis. If you're betting at Circus Sportsbook for a limited time, you can fund your wagers with crypto using BurraPay and pay no fees. It's fast, secure, and another way Circus continues to innovate for sports bettors. So visit BurraPay.com to learn more and take advantage of fee-free crypto wagering before August 31st, exclusively at Circus Sportsbook. Again, that's BurraPay, BurraPay.com. Jensen, I am not a crypto guy, but man, Derek Stevens, you talk about innovation. You want to pay with crypto? Cool. We got you covered at Circus Sports. Rather amazing. But again, that will expire. You got to do that before August 31st to take advantage of the fee-free crypto program that we are now currently offering. Jonathan Davis is going to join the program here. He's got some great plays out there in the futures market already in the NHL. If you want to get some numbers before they change. And Scott Merkin is going to join the program here to talk all things Chicago White Sox baseball later on in the next hour. But right now, let's talk some more baseball. A couple players on fire right now. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Diamond. You know, if you're a Cubs fan, you're like, hey, that's great. We scored 23 and we get a 23-3 win against San Diego. Let's save some of those runs, Jensen, for a game we're going to need them. But right now, you've identified a couple players, and certainly one in Chicago, that's absolutely playing a lights-out baseball.
It's been a little altering of the swing mechanics. It's been documented by some of the Chicago media with a great friend of the show, fellow Vandy boy, Dansby Swanson. This post here from Jesse Rogers at Jesse Rogers ESPN. Dansby Swanson, who had three homers yesterday, including a grand slam to cap off a 10-game span of which, Dave, he's driven in 26 runs. 26 RBI in a 10-game span. Only players to do this in a 10-game span within a season since runs batted in became an official stat in 1920. Dansby Swanson this year, Joe DiMaggio in 1939, Jimmy Fox in 1933, Lou Gehrig did it in back-to-back years in 1930 and 1931, and the great Mel Ott in 1929. What we're trying to tell you is that this 10-game stretch has been just otherworldly for Dansby Swanson. And Dave, it's not like this is a perennial RBI machine here. A guy that has routinely struggled in just the batting average department alone the last handful of seasons. I just want to tell you, in these last 10 games, he still only raised his batting average up to 210. But just when you look at the game logs, it is still kind of jarring to look at the crooked numbers. What I think is funny, and the reason I wanted to bring it up to you, so you go back to the Mets series in which he single-handedly beat the Mets at Citi Field. 4 RBI in game 1, 7 RBI in game 2, 4 RBI in game 3. Then not one RBI for 5 straight games before having 3 against San Diego in game 2, and then yesterday having 8 on the strength of 3 home runs. So it is 8 homers also in this 10-game span. That would be incredible in its own right. But Dave, can I one-up you on Junior Caminero? Dansby Swanson, 8 homers in 10 games. It's amazing. That's a month for people. How about Junior Caminero, 6 consecutive games with a homer yesterday? If you had the foreshadowing to play him at the beginning of this run and wager $100 on it and roll it over, Dave, you would have made $250,000. That's how hot Junior Caminero is in the bankroll department. Gave him out early in the week at 20-1 to win the American League MVP. Dave, one of the favorite phrases for us here on this program, yesterday's price, not today's price. Mm-hmm. You can still find Junior Caminero, but only at 7-1. To win the MVP. He is only behind Bobby Witt Jr. at 6-1, Nick Kurtz plus 285, and Yordan Alvarez right now, the odds on favorite at minus $1.25. The helium alert is on, Dave, for Junior Caminero and the Tampa Bay Rays.
By the way, the numbers that you mentioned with Dansby Swanson getting those 26 ribbies in the last 10 games and hitting 210 right now. If you told me that there was a Cub in the history of the Cubs that could do that, that would not have been the name I would have guessed. I would have guessed maybe Dave Kingman back in the day for hitting 210 and driving in 26 runs in 10 games. And the list that he joins, though, Jensen, like that is baseball royalty that we're talking about with the old Iron Horse there, doing it a couple of back-to-back years, and Jimmy Fox and Mel Ott, as you mentioned. So if you know your baseball history, that's pretty impressive what Dansby Swanson's been able to do, and yet still only hitting 210. I want to ask you what's going on here with a guy who yesterday went out there, and I'll give you his line yesterday. It was four innings pitched. It was six hits. It was eight runs. Seven of those were earned, two walks, five Ks, and gave up two home runs in a 10-6 loss. Jensen, at some point, I know the ERA overall is still not bad at 3.62. What is going on with Paul Skenes?
This has been remarkable, Dave. And just kind of looking at start in, start out, I'll bring it up for you right now. I had mentioned, I think even to Matt Youmans and Will Hill on primetime, that when you look at some of the extenuating circumstances here, Dave, we use a metric in baseball called BABIP, and that's batting average of balls in play. Mm-hmm. And what that does is it kind of levels, you know, where things are as far as, are you getting lucky? Are you getting unlucky? And, you know, for a certain amount of time here, Paul Skenes has had issues because he has missed over the big part of the plate a lot more than what we've seen in any stretch of his young big league career. To give you an idea, it's a 5.36 ERA in these last nine starts, of which, as you mentioned, 0-9, the Pirates are in those nine games. He's given up 51 hits in 47 innings. Dave, that is rather remarkable for a guy that is so accustomed to missing barrels. His batting average on balls in play is .364. Okay, wow. So he's not getting the benefit of the doubt. He is just getting teed up. And I think that is just crazy to wrap our heads around for a guy that was so dominant to start his career. It's the first prolonged stretch that he's had to really try and dig deep. Now, when you look at some of the offenses, this latest start against the Phillies, who are red hot right now, the Reds, who he's owned in his career, he gave up four runs on six hits and five innings, a very short outing. He actually was really good in the Mile High City, just unlucky, only gave up two runs in six innings. And really, that's beyond that. The last two starts are the egregious parts of it. It's almost bookended itself, Dave. The Phillies, when this losing streak began, this was back on May 17th, touched him up for five runs on six hits. That was at PNC Park. Well, at Citizens Bank last night, it's eight runs on six hits in just four innings. So they kind of bookended it there. Outside of the Red start and the Blue Jays start north of the border, he's actually been decently good, just has had no run support behind him whatsoever to speak of in a handful of those outings. So you got to believe that he's heading home each night and really racking the brain. It is tough when you go through these stretches because, Dave, when he's right, as we know, arguably the most dominant pitcher in the sport.
You know, Zach Wheeler is actually ahead of him right now. When you look at Cy Young in the National League at 30-1, Shohei's at 35-1, along with Yoshi Yamamoto at 35-1. And that's the same number as Paul Skenes. Now, normally, Jensen, not saying this is a Scotty Scheffler Veasan by the books rule where Scotty drifts to 10-1, you just play it and you're going to rest easier knowing you're going to have him in the mix. I don't know that I could do that, but if you told me at any point this early in the season that I could get Paul Skenes to win the Cy Young at 35-1, I'd say I'd have to do it. But when you detail it the way you just did, this is a prolonged stretch. He would have to have won the inverse of that and look like a dominant, like you'd have to have like a Christopher Sanchez run, wouldn't he? In order to really get back into this mix here to be viable at 35-1 to win the Cy Young?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty decent analogy right there. For what it's worth, Dave, if you're looking to take a shot on a 30-1 or higher, I wouldn't mind Chase Burns, and especially with the marquee matchup we've got tonight or this afternoon. When you look at some heavy swing and miss capability, it doesn't get much better than Chase Burns, Jacob Mizorowski, there at American Family Field, 2:10 Eastern first pitch. I'm inclined to tell you that the under is an auto play here, but we've had a little movement on the total, Dave, from 7 at the open down to 6.5. But at about 8 o'clock this morning, we had a jump back up to 7. So I'm going to wait and see what lineups are once officially released later before I make a play on that. But certainly a great lead into the Spain match later on at 3 o'clock Eastern. I'll be tuned in to Chase Burns, Jacob Mizorowski for some free air conditioning on a sweltering day in the Midwest here, Dave Ross.
If there was a prop out there for the quickest game in the National League this year, I might take a shot at Chase Burns and Jacob Mizorowski today there in Milwaukee. Let's talk more about Team USA. How exciting is this? We'll kick it off next right here. I'm VSiN by the Books.